Let's pray, please, that the Lord will anoint my words and that He'll prepare your heart. Father, we come before you right now and we ask you, Lord, that you are so present in this place. Thank you, Lord, for this place that we come apart on Wednesday nights, on Sunday mornings, to just be with you and commune with you. Father, I ask you to bless every person in this place tonight. I ask you, Father, that when they leave here tonight, that they'll know that they have been in the presence of the Lord. And Father, I just ask a blessing on them in their home, that peace will reign in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I didn't bring any notes, and that's a little scary when you're dealing with me. And when he said this afternoon that I could do what I wanted to do, Ronnie said that wasn't smart. But anyway, I just want to share with you that I came up in a very moral home. And, I mean, we went to church every Sunday. You know, we were there every time the doors opened. But when I was 13, my daddy really had a revelation with the Lord. And it was very different from there on in. But I was about 20-something, my early 20s, whenever I was sitting in a revival service at Alpine First Baptist, Horseshoe Drive Baptist Church, and deacons were getting saved. And I truly had an experience with the Lord, and I asked Him to come into my heart. But I never grew. I wasn't discipled. I just never grew. And, I mean, he was there, but it was kind of like he was in the utility room of my heart, and we only brought him out for, you know, big spills, big messes. And I went on through life, and I'm sort of a Pollyanna, as most of you already know. And I see that everything's half full and not half empty. And I enjoyed life. But whenever I was in my early 40s, my world came crashing down. What I had thought was the perfect marriage began to fall apart. And it got very cold. And I thought that I was going to bleed to death inside. And I remember that morning, on about February the 4th, 1992, looking up in the corner of my room, and I said, God, you're going to have to do this one. I can't do it. Now, what made me say that, I don't know. I was very active in the church. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was helped prepare the meals for a long time on Wednesday nights at Alpine. And, sang in the choir, sang solos. I was very active. But I didn't really know Him. And I have found that it takes usually tragedy in your life. And you've got to come to a place that is so deep, and you're so surrounded that the only way out is up. And I took it. And I want to tell y'all, I wouldn't give anything for that experience. My marriage fell apart, but I want to tell you, in the 2 years before God released me from that, I healed. I grew in Him. There was this lady that came into my life, and her name was Carolyn Alsop. I don't know if some of you might not know her, but she was a mighty warrior of God. She was about 6 feet tall, or at least that's the way she looked to me, silver-haired, and oh my goodness, she loved the Lord. And I remember later in our discipleship that she led us in, I remember later she told us, she said, I am Methodist. What I was doing at Alpine First Baptist Church, I have no clue. But God told me there were three women, and Gail, you were one of them. And she took us under her wing, and she just poured Jesus into us, poured the Word. I can remember going to her house and saying, I know you've talked to Him today. Now, what's He want me to do? And she said, let's pray. Every time. And I learned to love to pray. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like being in the presence of the Lord and being at His feet. I mean, it's just, it's life-giving. And so anyway, I went along a couple of years, and I had some kids that were very way out there, hanging off a cliff. I mean, just right over the abyss, okay? And I remember about 6 years ago, well, Ronnie and I got married 10 years ago, next 2 weeks from now. And that's been a blessing in my life. He is Lanyap in my life. And about 6 years ago, I remember coming to the place where I realized I can't be anybody's savior. I can't fix them. You're going to have to do it, God. My daddy tried for years to bring me into this place with him, with the Lord. And it's not. God doesn't have any grandchildren. He only has children. And it's a personal experience. And it's in His timing, His place, His way. And I can't control it. So I gave Him my children. And I said, Lord, You do with them whatever it is that You want to do. But I'm asking You to give me the grace to be able to stand it. And I'm also asking You, Lord, could I please see some of it? I want to see some of it. Well, last year, when I found out that three of them were incarcerated, I said, whoa, you got a captive audience, God. Get after it. The fact that I was not upset, that I wasn't just, was God. That was the second thing I asked, and that's what He did. He gave me the grace to be able to stand to watch Him do the things that need to be done in order for my children to come to Him. Because let me tell you, the greatest desire of my heart, and we have eight now, my four and Ronnie's two, and then these two that we've adopted, my greatest desire is to see them walk with the Lord. I don't want kids that have fire insurance. I want them standing on the rooftop shouting, people, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. I want kids on fire for God. And I know He's going to do it. I've got too many promises in the Word. So last year, when I found out all this was going on, I wrote a letter to Callie and Gage's mom, and I told her, I said, you know, I know how you can get through this thing victoriously. And I had to go through a lot of hoops to be able to find this kid's address, and I did it. And I said, well, I don't know for sure if she's going to get this, but here we go. And I did it. And I guess maybe it was 2 weeks later I got this letter, and she said, Mom, I am a new creation in Christ. I have found the Lord, and you were right. But it was someplace she had to go in order to find Him. And it's a struggle for her every day now. But she's got a relationship with these kids. And I want to tell y'all, it's so sweet to have a relationship with her. What a blessing. I have watched God do things in my life that no one else could ever manufacture, engineer. They couldn't work it out. It's all Him. It is all about Him. And the difference between my first four children and these two is that Jesus Christ is the center of this home. He's the Lord of my life. And I am so grateful. And I desire to be the woman that He wants me to be, the woman He created me to be. And last year, Cheryl was here, but last year at the Woman of Faith. I have been asking y'all ever since these little guys came to live with us, Lord, how do I break these generational curses? How do I break this? These have to be broken. And I'd never get an answer. I thought it was something I had to do. Well, it really was. Because I found out, the Lord just gave me revelation at the Woman of Faith. He said, you become all mine. Totally surrender your life to me. They're going to see it, and they're going to want it. That's all you have to do. All you have to do is sow and water. because the growth is up to me, Gail. It's not up to you. And he's so right. And it is such a blessing to see my children begin to come into that place with him. And I know every one of them, all eight of them, are going to be on fire for Jesus Christ. There is no other way. There is no other life. I live for him. Rooney is Lanyap. These kids are Lanyap. Everything that God has given me, that's just Lanyap. The most important thing is who he is in me. And I want to tell you, my life is awesome. Yes, I do get a little tired. But it is just awesome. And I have the best time. And I've had people say, well, you really shouldn't be having that much fun if you're a Christian. No. Life is beautiful. It is so beautiful, and I am so blessed. So blessed with a precious family. And I'm grateful to you all. You have been a tremendous blessing to me. And I want to thank each and every one of you just for being who you are in him. And this is a family. And you are part of my family. And I love you. And I thank you so much.
Is that the Christian challenge? Do you remember?
No.
She came to one of the ladies.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I did come to one. But I heard y'all were having a ladies meeting. And I did show up here on Friday night for a ladies meeting, of which I hadn't been able to make too many of them since. Well, that's a great group of ladies, so if you don't have anything planned on Friday night, ladies, this is good. But, you know, God places us where he wants us.
Yeah.
I mean, and whenever you get uncomfortable where you are, sometimes he's got to put a stick of dynamite under you to move you into a place where you can be blessed. And he did that for me. I mean, I went on for the longest not trying, you know, figure out, okay, I'm not happy here. This is not where I'm supposed to be. What's going on? And I do remember I was coming here and visiting. And then I came back. That's when I saw the thing that y'all were having the next Friday night, and I decided I'd come. And I have felt a kindred spirit ever since I came because, you know, I'm preaching to the choir. You folks have a walk with him that's awesome. And every one of you has a story of how he brought you into the family. And it's exciting. And it's exciting to me on Wednesday nights to come up here and hear what God's done in your life.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been one thing after another that I see God work in my life. And I guarantee you, he's doing the very same thing in yours.
Amen.
And I ask him, I said, let me see what you're going to do today. Let me see. And he does. He does. I mean, he gives me little things. He lets me look forward to every single day. There's fun things in my life every day. And there better be because I've got two little ones back there that are expecting it. But I do want them to remember their childhood as it was fun. Yeah, I know about Jesus, and it was fun. So, I thank each of y'all for what you've meant in my life. And I thank God that he allowed me to come through the storm.
Amen.
Because that's where he brought me to him, was in the storm. And I wouldn't give anything for it.
Mm.
So, thank you.
Praise God. Thank you, Sister Gail. You can win. What you going to do?
I'm going to tell y'all this, about this little red book here. My parents gave it to me. And little did they realize how important or precious it would become to me in my later years. How precious is his word. But this red book is the foundation on which my life has been built. And the thing which has made possible everything that has counted in my life.
Mm.
His word is Amen. Awesome. And if it's all we have, it's all we need.
That's right. Amen. Thank you, Gail. Praise the Lord. Well, I really appreciate you sharing that, sis. Ah. I got nothing. No, I wasn't kidding. I called Gail and I said, sis, you just take as long as you want because the more time you take, that's much less I got to do. And I'm just going to be, can I be transparent? Well, kind of hard to be transparent in a yellow shirt. But I am wore out. I am. I'm just, this VBS is incredible. I mean, it's awesome and it's exciting. But it's, I'm tired. In fact, I told Cheryl to stay home tonight. I mean, I almost had to tell her. I mean, I didn't tell her. Well, I did tell her to stay home. And she's like, I kind of want to, but I'm afraid I'm going to miss something. And, and she put so much work into this, and so many of you different teachers are working hard. And I think what I'd like to do, I mean, I asked the Lord to give me something to share with you, and He didn't. So, I'm not going to pretend or make it up. I mean, I could try, but it wouldn't work. So what I'd like to see is just for a couple of minutes, if any of the VBS teachers or workers would like to share anything about what's going on in your classes or what you're seeing or what is happening with you and your group. Because, I mean, there are some really neat things happening, but I just want to see. Anybody want to share? All right, Lori. I'll even come to you with the microphone. That's quite all right.
I just want to say, you know, we have a bunch of children that don't come to our church, you know, and sometimes it's so easy to want to lose your patience with them or you get frustrated with them. But the Lord just put it on my heart. We don't know their circumstances at home. You know, so many of our children are blessed to have a mom and a dad. You know, some of these children may come from a broken home or we don't know what their circumstances are. So the Lord really put that on my heart to be tender to especially a couple of them. But Josh, the first day, came home and he said, Mama, I had so much fun. And he said, I want to tell you something, but I don't want to hurt your feelings. And I was like, what? And he said, your class is fun, but Mr. Nathan's is awesome. And then he came, yes, today, and he said, Mama, look at me. I'm soaking wet. Miss Debbie is so fun. So, you know, I know we get tired and we get, you know, like we've had enough, but these kids really, really do enjoy it.
Yeah, it's been really neat, really neat. Somebody else want to share? David?
I was actually going to say something along what Sister Lori was saying. About some of the children that we would label as challenges or that seem to give us an extra hard time or whatever, and that she was talking about their, you know, we don't know what goes on at their home. You know, we know what goes on at our home, so we know what to expect and what they should do and all those things like that. But a lot of times, or I guess in some cases, the behavior is a demonstration of a need, you know, a desire, something that they're trying to get or something they're trying to prove to themselves, as far as not prove to themselves, but some children will act up on purpose either to get attention, and it doesn't matter if it's negative or positive attention, they just feel a need for attention. And if we could give them positive attention, even when they do whatever, I think that really shows the patience and the love of the Lord. And they can remember, you know, inside later on in their life that they did such and such, and what they got was not what they expected or what they normally get. They got something different there with those, you know, with those church people or whatever at that church. And you may not see it then, But I think it definitely has a impact on their life, you know, later on, and they may not think about it then, you know. And so I think it's really important for us to remember that. And I don't remember who it was. I was telling somebody earlier, you know, made the comment about being tired and worn out. And I said it would just be so awesome if the Lord would just show us a little clip of later on in one of these children's lives that they remember a VBS and they give their life to the Lord because of something that happened.
That's right.
And that would, of course, you know, that's, you know, I'm sure we'll see some of that in heaven, but it'd just be so awesome if we could see it now, But it does. I really believe that it has an impact, and it may take years and years for that impact to take effect, but I really believe it will.
Thank you, David. You know, this every morning at 8 o'clock, we have a little staff devotional. We don't take a long time, just a few minutes, and I kind of talked a little bit about that. I talked about my thorn in the flesh. His initials are Garrett. I'm telling you, he is, huh? And every teacher just laughed when I said it. They know exactly who I'm talking about. There's two Garretts. One of them's good, and one of them's not. If Garrett's mama or uncle or daddy's here, I am sorry. He's what? Well, good. You can follow him around if you like. Just but what I was going to tell you was that yesterday, the Lord gave me a little key for me with him. It was to bring him and let him sit right beside me when I was, instead of having everybody, when I put him out there in front of me with all the other kids, he was just all over the place. When he was right there beside me, I could hold his hand or touch him. It helped a whole lot. And today, John and I are tag teaming in that class up there. And today, John was the rock. And he taught the lesson. And I prayed beforehand the Lord would just really help us connect. And I'm going to tell you, when John was teaching, if you could have seen those kids' eyes, they were captivated. I mean, literally captivated by what John was saying and getting involved with. So I thank God for answering prayer. I'm going to talk to you about prayer in just a second. But sis, go ahead, Jess.
I was just thinking about wherever it says, is it Isaiah or Jeremiah or Ezekiel, where it says, my word shall not return void. Because I've seen it many times where people or I've said something, you know, about God's word, and you think they're not listening, and then later you see they were listening, and I've seen people change because you do speak the word of God or tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his word is not going to return void, no matter what people say or what it looks like. So,
yeah, I'll tell you what, I wanted to snap his head. I wanted to pop his head like a pimple. I'm just telling you the truth, folks. I ain't all holy and all that. But I didn't because there were witnesses. But like Don just said, I prayed. And the Lord answered that prayer. And today was the best day we've had yet. And sometimes that middle of the week can be, they're used to you and they'll start whatever. I don't know. But it was exceptional. I want to ask you this. Tomorrow in our lesson, there is a special opportunity with an emphasis for an offer of salvation to explain salvation. Before we leave tonight, I'd like all of us to pray that every single kid that comes through that class will have the clear understanding of what the gospel is, and that the Lord, if there's any of them that need to, that they will go ahead and make that decision to give their lives to Jesus wholeheartedly. So before we leave, we're going to do that. Anybody else? Donna? Who else? Nora? Let's see. I'm trying to think who else is leading. Chris? I'll just look around and point somebody. Watch this be her best friend.
Where's Sister Kathy? She's seen it. Bless his heart, he has to argue every morning about what class he's in. He'll argue with us. No, I'm not in this class. And we have to tell him, you know, yes, you are. And he wants to argue with us that he's not. But I'm having an awesome time with Sister Ruby. She's definitely a jewel.
Amen.
And a hard worker.
Whew.
And we've just been having fun with the food and the kids. And then registration, I'm having a good time. Sister Gail's kids, I took them home the other day and I asked them what they learned today. And all of them quoted Hebrews, was it 12:48? The other day.
I don't remember.
Yeah, they quote.
I got nothing.
I asked them what they learned today, and that's what they quoted that Bible verse for me.
Praise God.
To me, yeah, and so I'm just having a good time. And my great nieces, they're here, and then my all American boy, I call him. He'll be 2 in July. Y'all saw him this morning, and so that to me that's a blessing. And then I'm having a blast with Caleb. I really am.
Caleb's doing, yeah.
Yeah, he's doing good. He just, I don't know, he didn't want to come tonight or something. He's churched out or something, but I told him I'll be there at 7:30 in the morning to pick him up.
Amen.
At his house.
There you go.
So, But I'm just having an awesome time. I really am.
I'll tell y'all something funny. This morning, we time to start our devotional, and there was a lot of noise going on over there in the kitchen. So I kind of yelled at, I saw Kara over there, and I yelled, "Y'all need to quiet down in the kitchen." It was Sister Ruby. And I felt really bad, because you don't get on, Sister Ruby. Oh, are we having fun, Sister Ruby? Except for that mean guy getting on to you this morning, huh? Faith, you want to share something? I'll come all the way back there to you, baby. Okay. I came all the way in.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay. I babysit 4 kids every day, and, well, a couple of them are challenging. And I was wondering, like, if they would actually get into VBS or have fun. And, okay, well, y'all pretty much know all of them. Hunter is, like, the one. He's so cool. He thinks he's cool. And I thought that he'd be the one to not do anything, like, especially the dances and stuff. Like, whenever we did Splish Splash Bible Bash, like, I thought he was going to be the only one not to do it. And the first day he came up there, and he was the only one doing it in my class. And I thought it was really cool. But, and I was wondering if he would really, not only him, but a lot of the other kids, if they'd actually learn something, just because I thought he wouldn't want to pay attention and do anything, whatever. But, like, you'd ask them what they learned, and they're excited about it. And especially in Brother David's class, he makes it fun whenever, I don't know, he does some kind of puppet thing and uses them, and they think it's really fun, and they learn a lot, and he's actually paid attention. And, well, I mean, not only Hannah, I keep saying Hunter, but just, I mean, all of them have learned a lot, and they're really excited about it.
That's awesome, Faith. And I'm seeing that Hunter was one that, in my mind, was going to be a challenge, and he's been great this week. He really has. Go ahead, Hope.
Okay, hello. I had Garrett in my class. I was a group leader. So, as we were saying, we prayed, and this morning with the devotion, I just, like, spoke kinder, and it had gotten better every day. I was like, wow, thank you, God. You know, this is, like, a total blessing. And I got a bunch of new quiet people and good, like Seth and all that. And I just love it now. I mean, God's just taking care of it, and this VBS is really awesome. So, here you go.
I tell you, I was thinking about Hope and Tasha, who help her. You know, us leaders, we only get the kids for 20 minutes. And I mean, we're counting down sometimes. It's like 19 minutes and 50 seconds, 19 minutes and 50. And Hope and Tasha have that same kids all day long. So I think they deserve some awards or some medals or something, like Purple Hearts or something. Because, I mean, they are the purple team. Yeah. Let me tell you something else really neat happened. Coming into this week, we were really worried about rain because a lot of our activities are taking place outside. And we were talking last week, we prayed for the rain, that the Lord would keep the rain away. And Tuesday morning we get here, and it is completely overcast, and it's a high percentage of rain. And so in this room, we got all the kids to pray and ask God to keep the rain away. And do you know it did not rain? I mean, it hasn't rained Monday, it hasn't rained Tuesday, it hasn't rained Wednesday in the mornings. And we're just believing God, He's going to keep that rain away. What a neat example. Because, like, on the second day of the teaching, the lesson was Jesus calming the storm. And only God can control the weather. Well, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You want your faith to be stretched. I'm going to teach a lesson that God can control the weather. I better believe it. And so I got to pray. Like, God, control the weather. He's just the ultimate object lesson guy. You know, He just gave us an object lesson that He can control the weather. And just seeing the creativity and the hard work of all the work. I come in here and I see across the floor, the Bible verse all the way across the floor. And those kids learning those Bible verses. Just so awesome. We have put a lot of time, a lot of energy, we put a lot of money into this. And I'm going to tell you, I really believe this investment in the kingdom of God is really going to pay off in the lives of these young people. And to have half of our kids be from outside of our church, that is, what an outreach. Thank you. That is an answer to prayer. That is so wonderful. All right, Nora, I would run, but I just can't. I got 2 more days of VBS to go. Thank you, John. I like your shirt, man. Wow, everybody look at John's shirt. Isn't that cool? Wow, okay.
I'm like Nathan. My biggest desire has been through the years is to see us reach out to other kids that are not church or that are church but that need just a lot of loving. We have about 9 little ones, and it's been great. We've had a lot of fun. And I know Carol probably would say this, that even though they're very active, they've just been a bundle of joy. And today it was very chaotic because one was unhappy, then the next one, it was like a chain reaction. One was sad, then the other one. But we got it together. We just loved on them. But you also see how kids just need to be loved like we do. And
right.
Little Hunter was sweet. Very first day he came up to me, he just gave me the biggest hug. Like he needed that hug. And he goes, "You're going to hug me, aren't you?" I go, "Yeah, I'm going to hug you." But it was sweet. But it's been tender.
That's great. You know, I think that devotion we had this morning and just changing our tone towards the kids that were more problem kids, it helped me a lot. And I believe we're seeing it in them too. So, praise God. What a wonderful week. John, give them a sample of your voice. Come on, Al.
I rarely can do things under pressure.
Well, but you're in the back. See, nobody's...
All right, let's see here.
Show them how... Just tell them a little bit of the story this morning.
Well, in today's story, I was a rock, see? A little bit more?
Yeah, a little more.
All right. I was telling the story of Elijah on the top of Mount Carmel. I was doing a lot better this morning, but the kids loved it.
And he was saying things like... He would say, "I kind of forgot that part, but it's okay. I've got rocks for brains." You know? just ad-libbing stuff like, "Yeah, I have some kids back home. The oldest one's name's Pebbles." And, he was just throwing stuff out, and it was great. Hey, we have some VBS students here, right? Have you VBS students enjoyed yourself this week?
Yes.
Yes? It's been good? All right, let me see how many you remember. Pharaoh. Oh, all right, just checking. Moses, he's our man. If he, all right, just checking. All right, very good. The what? Your clouds? Oh, yeah, y'all were, that's right. It's been a long week. I forgot, yeah. Okay, guys, I think we've done a good job, haven't we? Time to wrap it up, isn't it? You already going home? I'm not running you out. The last one out, turn off the lights. I know this is going to be the craziest Wednesday night in the history of Christian Challenge, but that's okay. Yeah, it'd be good if somebody locked the doors, too. John, all right. Oh, gosh. This is a lot more fun than Sunday. Amen. Well, good. Well, look, guys, what a wonderful week. And again, let me say thank you. The hard work that went into this in advance, those of you who have given financially to help us underwrite this and make sure that, you know, we're planning on feeding well over 100 people Friday night, and we're not charging them anything. I've seen, you know, some camps are starting to charge money for these kinds of things. Well, we're not charging them. Parents are going to come, and Friday night's going to be a wonderful, wonderful evening. And so let's pray. Can we take a couple minutes and pray? Pray for the VBS. Pray tomorrow especially. I mean, pray for the workers, for their strength for the last 2 days in that home stretch. Pray for the young people that their hearts really be open to what the Lord's doing there. Let's pray especially about that issue of salvation tomorrow, that those who need to would respond to that offer of salvation. And let's see. Pray for Tina's high blood pressure because what song did it make? Yeah, right, sure. Yeah, you're just trying to relive your childhood. Jeremiah was a prophet a long, long time ago. He told the world about Jesus so you and I could know that there is joy to the world. Okay, I'll stop that. I had something else to pray for and I forgot it. How about this, huh? Do you remember? Jeff has a good question. What are they finding about Jeff? Jeff did a CAT scan on Monday, but it's going to be about a week before they know something. And he is in horrible pain today, or was in earlier. And so please continue to pray for Jeff. God will give relief and let those doctors really see what they can do as well. But lift up Jeff. Anybody else, you got a prayer request tonight, Sister Rita? I also would like to ask you to pray for a fellow that works for Robert Hazemark. His name is Robert, also, who has a staph infection. And then Donna's nephew, Caleb, is he being brought to your house? Or let's pray for that home, too, that the Lord protect that home as he's brought in, and that they will be the influence on him, not the other way around, but let him be surrounded by God's love. Anyone else have a prayer request? Jessica? I know Gail's mom's in the hospital. Let's lift her up to the Lord. Anybody else have a prayer request? Let me just share this. I'm leaving Sunday for the trip to Asia, and I have to tell you, I'm a little overwhelmed with the preparations and trying to make sure I've got, you know, 3 weeks of bills paid in advance and all the other things that need to take place. So if you just pray for me that God's grace would be on me the next couple of days to get all the things done that I need to get done before this trip. And I will tell you just a real brief praise report. Before service tonight, if y'all had seen my desk earlier, you'd understand why I had this problem. I had asked John and then Faith, different ones, if they had seen the money from last Wednesday night's cafe, because the profits from that, or the proceeds from that, go to help fund the youth mission trip for those who are working in the cafe, and I couldn't find the money. I misplaced that money. It was like $112, and so I asked them, "Have y'all seen it?" Well, nobody's seen it. And I was really thinking, what did I do with that money? I could not think what I had done with that money. And I cleaned my desk off. That was a good thing. But I still didn't find the money. And so I was sitting there, Lord, where is that? Surely I didn't put it in my pocket and spend it. And I'm like, no, I hadn't bought anything, $112 worth of anything. And so I was just really fretting over it. And I thought to myself, I'm just going to put the money back. And then if I ever find it, that's great. And I heard this little nagging voice say, count the money in the money bag. And I thought, but no, I mean, I know how much money is in the money bag. It's the amount that was in there before that. And I would hear this little thought to myself, you ought to count it and just see. And finally, I relented and counted the money. And I had put the money in the money bag and had forgotten I had put the money in the money bag. Because I'm a little tired. It gets worse. Thank you, Ronnie. Thank you for that encouragement. But I mean, I'm going to tell you, I'm 42 years old, and I haven't had one of those moments yet where I mean, usually I don't forget money. I mean, I forget some things, but oh, goodness. So I totally had, but I counted, and it was there, every bit of it. So I'm not claiming a miracle. I'm just necessarily, it's an answer to prayer, though. The Lord helped me find that money. So apparently what had happened was, when I'd walked in that night, I had stuck the money in the money bag, but I hadn't recorded it in the ledger, and that's why I thought I hadn't put it in the money bag, because it wasn't recorded in the ledger yet. So I go to record it in the ledger, and I couldn't find the money. But so, a pre-senior moment. Oh, my. Hello? Hello? This thing on? All right. I'm glad that I don't have to use long-distance internet, email, cell phones, telegraphs, smoke signals, Morse code to talk to the Lord. I'm glad I can just say, Lord, and He hears. Would you stand up with me, and would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, tonight, as we have enjoyed this evening, it's been so relaxing and refreshing, and I thank you for that. I thank you for Gail's testimony, and how that is so moving to hear how you have made yourself so alive to her and to her children, and you're answering that prayer for all of their children to know you in that wonderfully real way. Thank you for being with us in our worship, letting us know you're here. So we gather to talk about VBS, and we've laughed and we've joked, but Lord, you've done some good things already. You've taught some children some simple lessons about trusting you, about having courage to stand up by yourself, throwing our anxieties and cares on you. That your love makes a way, and that we can worship you. All these wonderful lessons that we've been learning and teaching, thank you. We pray for the continued days of VBS, Lord, especially tomorrow as the gospel presentation is made. Help John and I to make it clearly and succinctly, and in each class, Lord, for them to have the opportunity to say things that would trigger the questions or open the doors for you to bring salvation to the heart and the homes of these children. Lord, that's our longing. Make it real. Make yourself real. Lord, bless these teachers with energy. Infuse them with your strength. Pray for Cheryl, Lord, that she'll just be refreshed right now, physically and emotionally refreshed. And for each teacher, each helper, Lord, tomorrow morning we come back, we'll just come back vibrant and alive and ready. And Lord, we pray for the troubled ones who have caused us problems and difficulties. Lord, they need your love so much. Help us to truly demonstrate and share that love of Jesus in a way that will astound them, not responding out of quickness or shortness or anger, but responding in love. Thank you for showing the love to them through us that you showed to us when we didn't deserve it. We lift up these various needs that have been shared. Lord, asking that you will help. Pray for Jessica. She goes to this camp and has the opportunity to minister. Let your anointing be on her. Pray for Chris's co-worker, Father, and that medical situation that she's walking through. For Richard Norman and how... And I know his wife, Edaby, is just so concerned, but Lord, would you help and intervene? And for this gentleman who's had that heart attack, Lord, we just lift his name, lift him to you. Along with others who've called those names out, we lift them up. We pray for this young man, Robert, who's suffering with a staph infection, this other man, young man, Caleb, Lord, who truly needs the light to penetrate the darkness of his heart, his life. Let the love of Jesus that's in the Haysmark home envelop him, capture him. Seduce him with your love, Lord. Draw him to yourself. If you don't draw him, no one's going to come. Draw him, Father. Draw him. Lord, I pray for Lori's good friend on this day of mourning as she's thinking about the heart, that child that she lost. Comfort her heart, Jesus. Lord, these other things, how quickly I can forget the things that are called. You do not forget. You heard them. You hear them. Lord, use us as your vessels of light. Use us as your vessels of love. Use us as your vessels of grace and mercy and compassion to share that gospel, that hope that we have with others. And may we truly, may this place truly be a light, a safe refuge, and a place of healing. In Jesus' name, amen.